Hey, what is up? Welcome to this episode of the Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur podcast. As always, I'm your host, Brian Lofermento, and today we are joined by someone that I feel like she epitomizes what it means to be an entrepreneur who's making moves, doing things, and helping people. Let me tell you about today's guest. Her name is Tiffany Dearman. Tiffany is fueled by an unwavering commitment to transforming the real estate landscape, one client and agent at a time, epitomizing entrepreneurial drive and innovation, really while doing all of that in a very competitive market. So her skills are really incredible. She shares them so generously with others. She's not only an entrepreneur, as a devoted wife, mom, and stepmom, she rallies her blended family of six kids with the same passion that she brings to her business venture. So she's got a lot on her plate. We're going to learn so much about her and how she operates here in today's episode. With a steadfast focus on faith, family, and the foundational principles of sales, Tiffany's journey as the proprietor of two six-figure enterprises alongside her nonprofit, I told you she was busy, reflects her commitment to mentorship, education, and challenging industry norms. With over two decades of experience in coaching sales professionals, she's energized by the prospect of empowering others to exceed their potential and revels in the opportunity to witness their success firsthand. Now, in 2021, Tiffany took all of these great experiences in life and in business to extend her influence further by founding X Factor Coaching, a platform dedicated to elevating the performance of high-producing real estate agents and builder sales teams nationwide. By imparting her expertise in six-figure selling, she enables these professionals to maximize revenue and achieve unparalleled success. And finally, as if her plate wasn't already full enough already, she's set to make waves in the media landscape as the host of an Emmy-nominated real estate TV show showcasing the intersection of community, culture, and lifestyle. I could say so much good stuff about Tiffany, but I'm not going to because I'd rather dive straight into my interview here today with Tiffany Dearman. All right, Tiffany, I am so very excited that you're here with us today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Brian. I'm excited to be here.
Heck yeah. I didn't even mention, you know, there's still things I left on that I could brag about you. You've been a board member. You've been part of executive committees. So much good stuff. But kick things off by taking us beyond that bio. Who the heck is Tiffany? How did you start and how do you continue to do all these amazing things that you get to do?
It's so crazy to hear things like that. You don't quantify what you do in life. You just do it, you know? So thank you for all the kind words. Let's see. I'm from Oklahoma. So that, you know, the heart of the country, that's what we call that. Graduated college, did what everybody does in Oklahoma, moved to Dallas, right? First job was in business-to-business sales with Kraft General Foods. That's the other thing you do. You try to get into corporate America so you can, you know, move up the ladder. So that is what I did. And then I would say from there, my resume, I did get to cheer in Oklahoma. So that was fun. I've always been a cheerleader. So I'm a Sooner born and bred. And so I got to do that for a few years. And then, like I said, the resume after that was pretty much Fortune, like 500, 100, you know, type organizations, cable and wireless, Pitney Bowes copiers, all the business to business stuff, which was great in learning the foundation of, you know, sales. And then, basically later in my career, moved to Indiana. And I would say that is where really my passion and my love for real estate and sales in general really started to take shape. So funny story, we were about to build a home, or we were looking for a new home and had nothing, knew nothing about new construction. And this sticks in my mind just because I think of the salesperson in me. So we're meeting with this sales counselor at the builder that I would end up working for. And he's telling us all the great things about building, you know, a new home. And he says, do you want a rough end, you know, in your garage? And I said, sure, of course we do. And then about 10 minutes later, I was like, Mitch, I have no idea what a rough end is. Can you explain that to me? And he thought it was so funny. And then he was like, you know, you should apply for a job here. And I was like, you know, you guys, you know, stand still all day. Like, you don't even have to go out and get the business. Like, how much can you make? And he was like, if you're not making six figures, you don't want to work here. I was like, okay, where do I sign up? So that was my first introduction really to high dollar sales and revenue. And it was an awesome ride, an excellent organization. I literally got to job share because raising my kids was really important to me at that point. So I worked 10 days on, 10 days off, made six figures, broke most of our, you know, sales goals, And it was just really, really fun. And then the market tanked in 2009. So I've been around for a while. So I got to see that happen. I got to see us as a builder start with dropping lumber on one house a day, going all the way up to 13, learning all the systems, the processes, operations, land development, customer service, construction. We were considered franchise owners when I was in sales. So we had to learn the whole business, which would be so, so valuable to me later in my career. So fast forward to us going out of business, and it's like, well, what am I going to do? So me and a girlfriend of mine who is just like a sister, we started putting flyers on all the spec model doors that the builder had owned, is saying, hey, if you need your earnest money back or you need a home, call me. And by the grace of God, I had gotten my real estate managing broker license just literally 2 months before that happened. So the timing was impeccable. Was my best year ever in real estate up to that point was going into business for myself and starting my own brokerage with real results. But I knew I still had a real passion for coaching and training. At that point, everyone had cut their coaching and training budgets because people were just trying to survive the market. So thankfully, I was able to start Real Results, have a fantastic year, keep that going. But in the back of my mind, always knowing that at some point, I want to be able to share with the industry at large all of the amazing things that I had learned and was able to accomplish and be successful and have fun doing it. I think that's hugely important. And so after doing real estate, I have my brokerage for 16 years, but after about 10 years, I was completely paralyzed with just, you know, the fear of failure and paralyzed with perfectionism. And so I finally decided to invest in myself and hire a business coach. And that was one of the best things I had ever done. And I'm all about coaching, but it's sometimes hard to take that leap and invest in yourself. And that is the first step. So I did that. This person gave me phenomenal information, turned me on to a great course about how to create a six-figure course online and in person, went through that. And after 10 years of kind of being paralyzed with perfectionism, within 2 years, I had launched X Factor and was a six-figure sales organization and so much fun. So that's kind of the short, you know, story of how I ended up there. I will say one thing that really stuck with me, because I want to encourage people who are thinking of becoming entrepreneurs or who are entrepreneurs, is to let people who know you speak into your life, people who know you and care about you. I probably would not have been as passionate if it hadn't been for the day we went out of business, which would seem like, you know, the darkest day ever. We're all at lunch, licking our wounds, all, you know, sad, you know, the end of an era. And I probably had about 3 or 4, maybe even 5 salespeople come up to me at that point who literally, while we were at lunch, because the word had gotten out that our builder had gone out of business, they had gotten phone calls from other builders and had already had jobs. Like, they didn't even have to interview. And they came over and they were like, thank you so much for pouring into me. I just got a phone call and I already have a job. And I was just like almost in tears by the time that happened multiple times, because I'm like, you know, everybody's in this place. Like, where am I going to go next? What am I going to do? How am I going to feed my family? And when that happened, that's when I really knew what we had was something special. And I was in a unique position to take it to, you know, the industry. And so that has been on my heart for years. And finally, I took the leap.
Yes, I love that overview, Tiffany, especially since I obviously can see you. Our listeners may not necessarily be watching us on video right now, but you have such a big smile when you talk about these things, because you use the words fun and passion, and you have those in absolute abundance, which is also why it's a good thing you do, because you have so much energy to do all these amazing things that you do. But at the root of it, the one thing that permeates all of the things you've talked about is, of course, your love and passion for sales. This is something that most people are afraid of, but it's something that fuels you. It's something you really enjoy. And I'll actually point out, I think you have two unique skill sets. One is you're obviously amazing at sales, but two, you're really great at helping others be amazing at sales. And those are two different skill sets that I think are a rare combination. So with that in mind, what is it about sales? When we start talking about sales, what is it that you love? Obviously, hearing the way that we can measure our success in sales, we can be guided by those metrics and the impact that we get to make on the world through sales, but what is it that you love about it? And two, what is it that you think makes people so scared of it? Why are people so hesitant to share your love and passion for it?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. So what I love about sales is, for me, it's about serving. So literally the acronym for my sales process is service. It's all action words: seek, educate, review, visualize, identify, close, and execute, because it's all about the things you do for the client. I believe the reason people are so intimidated by sales is because we have, you know, been taught that there's these tricks that you do, or one-hit wonders, or you have to be like super aggressive when you sell. And I believe it's all about earning the right to guide people around their mental roadblocks. And most of the time when people come to us, it's because they want to. It's because they actually want to invest or purchase what we have. They just want us to earn the right to sell them on it, but they don't want to feel sold. So it is a balance. And I think it's it can be very specific. So I love it because I love watching people feel confident about making a purchase that they really do want to make. That is so much fun. And real estate is awesome because it's usually, you know, the largest purchase people are going to make in their lives. And it's such a wonderful, homeownership is such a wonderful thing to share with people. So, and I just think it's energizing and it's fun and I'm competitive. And so those are all the things I love about it. And who doesn't love getting like immediate, you know, return on the investment they make with people? It's so fun because you know when you've closed the deal and you get that feeling of gratification and, you know, satisfaction in helping someone. So that's what I love about it. And that's also what I think sometimes intimidates people. I think people think you have to be naturally a sales talent. I disagree with that. I think we underestimate greatly our ability to influence. We underestimate the importance of structure, strategy, and focused on the fundamentals. That is what I believe oftentimes makes people think that they can't do it or that they're going to come across pushy. And I believe that if we take what's been proven to work and we embrace it in terms of a process and make it our own and make it all about getting to know our client better, so that truly at the end of what should sound like just a conversation, the next reasonable thing for them to do is to say, okay, how do I make this purchase? That's what should happen in sales. And that is what I love about it.
Yeah, really well said, Tiffany. And I'm going to call this out because a lot of people might be listening to this, and I'm sure anyone who encounters you immediately sees your passion and joy, not just for business, Tiffany, but really for life. And I feel like a lot of people, you already called it out, and I think it's such an important takeaway. I love when guests emphasize this, is that concept of things being natural. When people listen to podcast episodes or watch YouTube videos, they think all of this stuff is natural for the hosts, for the guests, that everybody is just this fine-tuned machine. But of course, it's not true. It's all reps. It's all experience. It's all putting that work in. And so I think it's really important that if someone looks at you and they say, well, Tiffany, you have a bundle of energy. You are extroverted. You love sales. Of course, it's easy for you. But you called something out that I want to go deeper into, which is the fundamentals. And I think that it's important to draw that distinction between stylistic selling, like Tiffany sells the way that Tiffany sells with her energy, with her personality, with all of those things. But other people don't have to sell stylistically the same way that you sell, and vice versa. You don't have to sell the same way that others sell. However, those fundamentals are ever present. Talk to us about what the fundamentals of selling look like, whether you're extroverted, introverted, whether you're direct, whether you're a more passive person. What do the fundamentals look like versus those stylistic elements of sales?
Okay, great. I'm so glad you asked that because, you know, style is somewhat about personality. The fundamentals, first of all, are about researching your client, figuring out what are the major decisions that they have to make to be put in a position to make a purchase, and then understanding the system or the process that you need to go through to deliver the right information, ask good questions, go deep, and get to know them. One of the things I often tell salespeople, and I liken sales a lot to, you know, high paid professional like athletes or even movie stars. And I say, listen, the highest paid professionals in our industry, they get paid to execute. They don't necessarily get paid to create. And as salespeople, sometimes we think we have to be creative rather than execute on the fundamentals. And I'll give you an example. I have the desire to write a book, and I'm going to title it Feet on the Tile. Okay? Sounds really silly, but there's so many times that you will go and visit maybe a new home builder community, and no one gets up to greet you immediately. They don't see the huge impact and importance in having their feet on the tile when you walk in the door to make you feel important. Sometimes that's one of the biggest fundamentals that we miss. I find that also with phone answering, answering it on the first two rings. That automatically sets a stage that gives you a better opportunity to make a great first impression. So we have to have those critical habits in place that we execute over and over and over so that we can be consistent with our client. And so those fundamentals are asking good questions, going three questions deep, having edge, being able to be honest. I mean, straight up front, if someone asks you something and it's not something you do, hey, we are not custom. Here's what we do, though, that makes what we offer affordable, and you can actually personalize it. So you have to be able to do those things, those basic things that make people feel important before you could ever earn the right to actually lead them through a sales process. And I think that's just, it's huge. So those are some of the basic fundamentals.
Yeah, and I think that shows so much of your attitude toward sales. You already said it. It's just like having a conversation. You've already stressed a few times the importance of questions. People always feel like if I'm selling something, I have to be speaking. I have to have the answers. But you're talking about questions, not answers. Walk us through some of those questions, because it's a question that we get from listeners all the time. Is they're just like, oh, can you ask some guests about, you know, sales scripts, or what should I say in sales conversations? Tiffany, take us down that road and answer that directly for our listeners.
Okay, awesome. So what I would say is some of those questions are going to be specific to your industry. And I do write sales systems, complete selling systems for different industries. So not just real estate, but it's about researching your client once again, finding out, you know, what are the important, you know, decisions they have to make. And then you need to not just share information because it may not be important to them. So if someone's looking for a home, first of all, you need to do a really good job of asking questions when they walk in the door that make them see, first of all, because the internet gives us all just enough information to be dangerous, but to make them see that they need you. That's how you establish your value. So if I have someone who's trying to decide what area they want to live in, I'm first going to say, well, what's most important to you in an area? And then when I say area, is that around town? Is that within 5 minutes of your neighborhood? Like, there's access to all the fun things you like to do. Then there's convenience to the things that you have to do, like grocery store, gas station. And it's really important to ask the questions about what's most important to you about the area. Then I'm going to ask you about schools. Are schools important to you? I'm not just going to do this litany on how great our schools are, because I have the opportunity to hit on the age group, the activities, the extracurriculars, or the academics that are specifically important to you and your family. And so why would I not ask the question first so that then I can share the information that actually, once again, puts you in a position to want to move forward? And that is the critical key with really every stage of the process. When we talk about your yard size, I need to ask those questions and not just trying to push on you what I have. I need to know what it is that is important to you. And in every industry, some of those major decisions vary. But I would say in a big picture, a lot of those questions, or the art of questioning, is the same. To lead with that instead of leading with information. Because I would say like 90% of consumers say that salespeople talk too much.
Yeah. And it's fun for me to have these conversations with you, because our listeners know that there are no pre-planned questions here. So Tiffany, hearing the way you handle these questions, you aren't fazed by any of them, because you're very confident in your ability to think as you go. And that's really what you're talking about with regards to sales, is that there are some things you know you're going to ask. But at the end of the day, curiosity is one ingredient that I'm hearing from you, is that you're genuinely curious to understand the people that you're in front of and the people that you're serving, which is why coming back to that concept concept of selling being a natural skill. Of course it's not. You weren't born that way. You can rattle these questions off because you've done it. You've lived it. You've got a ton of reps here. And so when we talk about selling skills, which is, I know, something you talk about with an X Factor coaching, what do those skills look like and how the heck can we work on them for people who are listening saying, Tiffany, I'm not great at sales?
Okay, so one of the good ones, big ones, is three questions deep. Just because you ask a question doesn't mean you have the answer you need to keep going. Once again, so someone says, I want a large lot. Okay, great. What does that mean? Does that mean you want a big front yard? You want a big backyard? You want a nice setback? You want more space between homes? Or you just want privacy? And is it really not about the lot size? So three questions deep is a fantastic skill that you can put into play today when you're talking to someone. You just keep asking, okay, tell me a little bit more about that. Okay, now tell me a little bit more what you want to do with that. We need a basement. Okay, is that going to be for safety because you're, you know, nervous about tornadoes? Or is that going to be like the man cave? What are you going to do with the basement? Because it really may not be a basement, which can be a considerable, you know, additional cost to purchasing a home. It may just be an extra space that we need. And we just assume a basement is it. So three questions deep is fantastic. I did mention edge, the ability to be direct. People want the truth about what they can and can't do. We'll talk about financing and being able to say, hey, you know what? Here's what you qualify for. Here's what could happen in 6 months if you wait. But being able to do that and make people feel good about it. You always need to tie down and you need to transition. Letting people know where you're going and then taking them there is so much easier for them, makes it easier for them to follow you. So I would say transition from one thing that you're going to talk about to the next thing that you're going to talk about. And then you always have to ask, after you talk about it, does that sound like the type of place, product, or thing that you want? Did I miss anything? Those broad questions that just kind of give your client the ability to fill in the blanks, you can't think of everything. So asking, what did I miss? What would you change about this house? If you had to make a decision today, what would it be? Those are fantastic questions that let your client know that you really want to hear from them. And you have no idea what they're going to say, but half the battle is making sure that they know that you care enough to ask, if that makes sense. So those are some of the selling skills that I would highly encourage salespeople to try to incorporate into their process.
Yes, which I'm going to throw this disclaimer in there. All of you entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs who are listening to us today, we are all salespeople, regardless of which industry you're in. So Tiffany is really challenging us and elevating the bar for us all to practice this, which to that point, Tiffany, we're all about action here on the show. I always tell listeners, the only way to learn how to ride a bike is to sit your butt in that seat and actually ride a bike. You can't read about it. You can't talk about it. You can't just listen to people talk about it. Is that you have to actually do it. So with that in mind, how can we gracefully and somewhat successfully, I hope at least, start practicing these things? Because if sales is a skill, how do we start practicing that skill? Because ultimately we're going to have to do it, but how can we maximize our efforts there and hopefully accelerate our timeline of learning?
Okay, you'll probably think I'm crazy. The mirror is fantastic. I practice all the time. If there's certain things I want to make sure I share with my clients and make sure I make them want to hear it, I'll practice. I practice with family members, of course, my colleagues and my friends, but you want to practice well. So videotape yourself, audio tape yourself. I am bullish on role plays. Nothing we do in life is all about just what we know. Everything is about what we do. And oftentimes we don't do what we think we do. Or we don't come across the way we think we're coming across. If I had a dollar for every time I sat down with a salesperson and showed them their mystery shop about how they engaged with a client, and they said, oh my gosh, I'm so silent. Or, wow, that wasn't very conversational. I would be just crazy rich, because we think we come across in a different way we do, in a different way that we actually do. So I would say I have friends, I have family. You definitely need to practice. It's not going to be natural. And depending on how many opportunities you get to engage with people on a daily basis, that's going to determine a lot of times how sharp you get and how well you're able to, what I say, like call an audible, because there's always going to be those situations that you weren't quite expecting, but you'll be able to, like, you know, be flexible and dance in that situation if you've got your fundamentals down. And so those are the ways that you practice. You got to say it out loud. You have to say it out loud. You cannot practice by just saying things in your head. You have to understand your timing and how things come across when you say them. And then watch people. The other thing that salespeople always tell me, it's always so funny when we do role plays, is, yeah, but I don't do it like that in person. That's not how I do it. And I'm like, yes, I'm afraid you probably do. Because even when you role play, if you're doing a great job of being in character, then the person you're role playing with will respond to you in a way that you're kind of leading. And it's amazing how you can point out the minute you lose someone, even when you're practicing. So I cannot stress enough the value in practicing out loud and then audio taping or videotaping yourself so you can see how you come across and the things that you want to tweak, which is exactly what high paid professionals do, right? Game film. That's what I call game film.
Yes, Tiffany, I feel like you're going to expose so many of us here today, because it's something. I love the fact that you bring in professional athletes as an analogy here, because in the world of tennis, kind of a big movement that's being led by, shout out to Ian Westerman, the CEO of Essential Tennis, is that concept of, if you want to improve your tennis game or any sport, all sports are transitioning to that video analysis. I remember when I started working with a tennis coach, he was like, you need to do this with your forehand. And I was like, I am doing that with my forehand. Until he showed me a video and I couldn't believe it. So it's that awareness and that practice, Tiffany, that you're preaching, yeah, that listeners are either going to nod their head and be like, yeah, it makes sense conceptually, or they're going to say, Tiffany's the one that's sparking me to take action and I'm going to go do it. I think it's such a powerful thing. And along those lines, I also want to toot your horn, because I feel like you have an unfair advantage in sales because you came from real estate. There's something about real estate sales that I think is so powerful. Maybe it's the dollar amount that you alluded to. It's people's most expensive purchase. Maybe it's the volume. Maybe it's a lot of factors. But one area that I always look at real estate salespeople and admire them for is follow-ups. You all know how to follow up effectively. And that's something that even if you have a great initial conversation, but you don't follow up, you're not going to make that sale. Talk to us about your attitude and maybe some of your systems and processes for follow-ups, because gosh, I know it's a core part of your success.
You're absolutely right. First of all, it's the number one way to differentiate yourself, even from your colleagues, even within real estate, and from your competitors, because we don't follow up. With all this technology and all these ways, different ways at our fingertips to actually follow up, we still don't do it. And a lot of times it's because we're intimidated. So the first thing I always do is set that bridging event before I hang up the phone or before that person who I'm talking to leaves me. Because if I'm following up, I have talked to them at some point before. So I'm always going to say, hey, I'm going to probably, you know, reach out in about a week. Or, you know, I'm going to make sure to send you this email and then I'll give you a call. When you tell people what you're going to do and then you do it, you're simply being honest and following through and they appreciate it. When you don't, you feel like you're inconveniencing them, and so do they. And so I think that is a reason oftentimes we don't follow up, because we don't think people want to hear from us. And they say it takes at least 10 times off, honestly, sometimes before someone is even going to respond or reach out back, because we're busy. We're busy, and secretly we do have a lot of respect for those salespeople who are persistent in, you know, a good way. You don't want to be overly aggressive, but you do want to be persistent because people are busy. As far as systems and processes, you have to be really good at statusing your clients. You can't follow up with everyone the same way and the same amount of time. And so I have what I call A, B, C, and D categories for clients. And your A clients are ready, willing, and able. And at any one time, truthfully, across most industries, you have about maybe 10 to 15, maybe 20 people that really fit in that category that you need to be focused on, and you need to continue until they make a decision. But it's so important that you understand if one of those things is missing, ready, willing, or able, they're likely a B client. And your C client, two of those things is missing. Your D client is the person that you haven't gotten to because they left you a message and you need to get back to them. So they're golden until you're able to put them in a category. So follow-up is absolutely critical. It's still a fantastic way to differentiate yourself. And again, it's just something that a lot of salespeople, they are on to the next, you know, lead or up and forget to work with the people that you've already talked to. And that's really the key to conversion. If you don't want to continue to spend thousands and thousands of dollars driving more and more and more new leads, then go deeper and be more effective and more consistent with the people you've already talked to. There are some sales in there somewhere, I can assure you.
Dang, Tiffany, we've had so many sales experts on. I've personally consumed so much sales content over the past 16 years of my entrepreneurial journey. Never have I heard something as clear and practical as your ABCD, those categories and those buckets, and also your clear criteria, ready, willing, and able. I love how easy and actionable you make that for us. So really incredible insights there that I'm so appreciative of how transparent you are. I want to switch gears. I knew time would fly by here today. I didn't think it would fly by as quickly as it is, but I want to talk to you entrepreneur to entrepreneur because I so respect and admire all the things that you do on top of being a mom, on top of being a wife, on top of running all these amazing things that you do in addition to your nonprofit. Entrepreneur to entrepreneur, Tiffany, how the heck do you manage your time?
Well, some would say maybe I'm not that great at it. but you know, everything is not critically important at the moment. You do have to wake up and decide what are the things, you know, first of all, you know what's really important to you, obviously family. And, you know, the business is really important. I love doing it. It energizes me. But I also know that I can't do it all. I have excellent people around me. I have a fantastic assistant. I have a team that is just like, I do tend to look for the people who truly are like-minded and align with my, you know, desires and things that I want to accomplish. And that just makes it so much easier to all be going in the same direction at the same time. And I think that helps a lot too. I time block so that I can say, okay, after this time, I do not do this activity. Before this time, this is when I do this activity. And I try to be really, really selfish, I guess I would say, with that in managing my time. And I try to take, you know, vacations here and there so that I can just unplug because the work will always be there. And I find that there's the more people you help, the more people there are to help. So, yeah.
Yeah, really well said. Huge kudos to both you and your team because you're right. It takes all of that to make it happen. And the one ingredient I'm going to layer onto all of that you just shared with us is discipline. Of course, talking about it is one thing, but being disciplined, you talk about time blocking. I think that's so important that all of us need to acknowledge it and make it a reality in our own lives and businesses. So huge kudos to you and your team. And I always love asking this question at the end of our conversations because I have no idea which direction you'll take it in. And that's, what's your one takeaway for listeners who tuned in? Tiffany, I feel like you raised the bar for us in so many ways here today with regards to sales and life and entrepreneurship in general. What's that one takeaway or one action that you want everyone to walk away from today's session with?
I want everyone to invest in themselves. If you and I mean really financially invest in yourself. That is the biggest financial investment that you can make that you will never regret doing. That was hard for me. You kind of attach a lot of your skills and abilities to whoever you're working for if you're not an entrepreneur yet. And it's hard to kind of like think, hey, maybe I have these skills and abilities to take to other people. So I want people to invest in themselves. And as far as sales go, I want you to remember that structure, strategy, and the fundamentals can take you so far when it comes to interacting with people and developing a conversation and just earning the right. I say you learn the most effective way to engage people and earn the right to ask for the sale or to influence them. And we are all in sales. And so learning the skills that increase conversation benefits you in every area of life.
Yes. Amen to all of that. I love the way you think about it. I love the way you articulate it, Tiffany. And I love the way that you've so generously shared it with us here in today's episode. So I know that listeners are going to be keen to go deeper down the Tiffany rabbit hole and get all the goodness that you're putting out into the world. So drop those links on us. Where should listeners go from here to follow along with all the great things that you're up to?
Okay. Well, listeners for today can go to the XF, X is in Xbox, because I have teenagers, F is in Fred, or X Factor. So thexfcoach.com/want. And they can schedule some time with me if they want, or they can just do thexfcoach.com, which is my website, and they can look at several of the things that I'm doing. I'm on YouTube, Coach Tiffany. I'm all over YouTube and LinkedIn, Facebook. I'm on all the social media sites as Coach Tiffany. And so they can kind of check out what I do there, get some like samples of my course. But my website, I think, is pretty comprehensive. And if you go there, it'll take you everywhere else.
Yes, I so appreciate that generous offer. Listeners, you already know the drill. We are dropping all of those links down below in the show notes, wherever it is that you're tuning into today's session, and including that special link for all of you listeners that Tiffany has so generously created. Her business is X Factor Coaching, so her website is thexfcoach.com. Throw a /want on there. Tiffany, thanks for sparing our listeners figuring out how to spell wantrepreneur. I love that you guys shortened that. So thexfcoach.com/want is that special link, or just find her main website at thexfcoach.com. We're also linking to all those social links, as well as her personal LinkedIn down below if you want to connect with her. So Tiffany, on behalf of myself and all the listeners around the world, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was awesome. I love it.
Hey, it's Brian here, and thanks for tuning in to yet another episode of the Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur podcast. If you haven't checked us out online, there's so much good stuff there. Check out the show's website and all the show notes that we talked about in today's episode at thewantrepreneurshow.com. And I just want to give a shout out to our amazing guests. There's a reason why we are ad-free and have produced so many incredible episodes 5 days a week for you, and it's because our guests step up to the plate. These are not sponsored episodes. These are not infomercials. Our guests help us cover the costs of our productions. They so deeply believe in the power of getting their message out in front of you, awesome entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs, that they contribute to help us make these productions possible. So thank you to not only today's guests, but all of our guests in general. And I just want to invite you, check out our website, because you can send us a voicemail there. We also have live chat. If you want to interact directly with me, go to thewantrepreneurshow.com, initiate a live chat. It's for real me. And I'm excited because I'll see you, as always, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here on the Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur podcast.